Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly. Half a glass of wine and she panics.
Because I closed my computer and I was like, wait, I need it. Girl power defeating bitches since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm here to say today bestselling author Josh Day. Listen, I love directions.
Yes.
And I always have them open next to me, even if I know how to do it by heart. I like directions.
Oh. There's nothing wrong with that. I do enjoy your panic-stricken face. So we're half a glass of wine in.
Yes.
And I think this is going to be a fun letter to read.
Yeah.
So why don't you get right to it?
I shall do it. Hello, ladies. I want to start first by saying I absolutely love listening to your show and wish you were both my friends.
Aww.
We can be your virtual friends.
Yeah.
My story begins with a friend I've had since middle school. We're both now in our 40s. Kenya, not her real name, has been steadily making poor choices over the last several years. Because of our history, I'm not afraid to tell her my opinions and that she deserves better. In a nutshell, Kenya has been dating a loser for the last year. He can't hold a steady job, he lives with her in her apartment, and doesn't contribute to the bills or food because he doesn't work. She pays for everything, including feeding his child, that he gets to see every few weeks. When he does have money occasionally, she doesn't know where he gets it and suspects he's selling drugs or doing something illegal.
Wow. Does he have a brother?
Or doing something illegal, but has admitted she's afraid to ask. He also doesn't drive because he lost his license, so she takes him anywhere he needs to go.
God.
I just want to interject by saying, I've dated this person. This exact person. Listen, frustrated friend, you and I need to talk. In a nutshell, all of these things seem so obvious to me as giant red flags blowing in the breeze, and I can't for the life of me understand why she stays for him. I have a theory. She has said she's not happy, but seems to prefer being miserable over ending their relationship because she doesn't like confrontation. I've encouraged her to kick him out as he is not on the lease to her apartment and have repeatedly tried to get her to see how he's only bringing her down and that she needs to see her self-worth. Kenya also almost got evicted because she's perpetually poor at managing money.
Ugh.
And has to pay for a family that's not hers.
Right.
She consistently overdrafts her account and never seems to have money despite having a good paying job. She spends unwisely, like getting tattoos or buying shoes. I see nothing wrong with that.
Wait. Is that a problem?
No. I've offered to help her budget and how to keep a checkbook register instead of relying on what her online banking shows, but she always declines. Her ex-husband handled the money, so she never really learned how to budget or take care of finances. I've begun to distance myself from her over the years. I get very frustrated because her problems are self-made, and it's become very tiring listening to her complain when she knows what to do to improve her situation. I also don't invite her to do things as a couple with me and my husband because we can't stand her boyfriend and she never has money to go out. Is there any advice you can offer on other ways I can approach how to get her to see the error of her ways, or should I just cut my losses? Thank you, frustrated friend.
Oh, frustrated friend.
Yeah.
We have so much to say.
I do have a few things to say.
Go ahead.
Having
dated this drug dealing
I dated this same
father.
Guy. My issue was I was digmatized, so your friend might be as well.
Digmatized.
And this is a real thing that happens, is the oxytocin, which is the love hormone,
right,
starts, and you can't get over it until you stop having sex with him, which she's never going to do because she lives with him.
Right.
So what happens is she might be feeling like, I don't want to deal with this guy anymore, and start to try to pull away, and then he gets all nice and does and love bombs her.
Right.
And then all of a sudden she's back into it.
Yeah.
So that's why and he's never going to leave. He's never going to leave.
Not on his own.
Why would he? Everything's paid for.
I want to move in with her. Kenya, are you taking boarders? Who don't have to pay, cook, contribute.
Yes.
I'm not a drug dealer, but
still,
I think I could be her type.
You have so good qualities.
So I think you should cut your losses.
Yes. I'm sorry.
You know, she's choosing to have a life of chaos, and that's because she likes the drama and excitement of chaos. This is my theory.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want you to fix her.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel for you because I have a Kenya.
You do?
I do. I have a Kenya, and I love fixing people. I feel like I'm a very pragmatic
person.
You're
very good at it. Yes, it's
and,
true.
And so I look for, like, you know, you're unorganized, so I'm very organized.
Yes.
Let me help you get organized.
Right.
Or something like that. But I think that that when she starts to complain about something, you can say a few things that seem to work well,
mm-hmm.
courtesy of Dr. Khaleesi.
That's right.
And number one is, that sounds hard.
Mm-hmm.
What's your plan?
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite, actually.
Yeah.
Because then she's, because when she says these things to you, she's waiting for you to come up with the plan.
That she can then reject.
Exactly.
There's always a reason for her to reject.
Right.
Second thing is, wow, that sounds like exactly the situation you were in last year.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think you haven't changed anything?
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And then number three.
Mm-hmm.
Since this has always been a pattern for you and you make the same choices again and again, this situation obviously serves you on some level.
Mm-hmm.
You choose this, so you must be getting something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not stupid,
mm-hmm.
after all.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two examples on this.
Okay.
The first is my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Sainted Mother has had insomnia since 1972. She has not slept through the night since I was 7 years old.
Wow.
And she's exhausted. She loves to tell everyone how little sleep she gets.
Okay.
I was up for an hour and a half last night.
Uh-huh.
I'm exhausted.
Uh-huh.
I'm so tired. It's so frustrating. I can't sleep for more than a couple hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So after several decades, mm-hmm. of me trying to help my mom sleep through the night and recommending good sleep habits and buying her books on sleep and podcasts,
mm-hmm.
and meditation and turn off your light and,
mm-hmm.
have your room cold and,
mm-hmm.
go to bed at the same time. And, you know, she doesn't. She goes to bed whenever she feels like it. She falls asleep with the light on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's 81, so the light is like an interrogation.
Yeah.
Light. The light on. The book on her chest.
Yeah.
The book will fall out of her hands,
yes.
and hit her in the face.
Right.
And hit her on the glasses.
Right.
Waking her up. But I finally realized, Mom doesn't want to sleep through the
night.
No. She has never seriously tried,
yes.
good sleep hygiene. And I thought, what is she getting out of this, right? So the first thing she's getting is an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sleep well last night. I can't come.
Right.
Can't do it. Can't do anything because I have this carte blanche. I didn't sleep. And for two, it lets her nap or doze whenever she wants.
Yeah.
Which I'm all for.
I am too, but that's when you've gotten good sleep.
Right.
Right?
It's a, you know, taking a power nap,
yeah.
or, you know, when you are really tired. But this excuses her,
mm-hmm.
and it also fills her day.
Yeah.
Right? So if she has a nap worked into her day,
yeah.
that's a couple of hours. And,
yeah.
and my mom is someone who does need things to fill her day. And, you know, then she doesn't have to remember things because she can say, I was just so tired, Kristen, I misheard you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it excuses her from a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sleep a solid seven hours, and then you're going to be held,
mm-hmm.
to the normal ebb and flow of life,
mm-hmm.
Why would you do that if you can excuse yourself at any time?
I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't sleep well last
That's
night.
That's right.
I can't fill in the blank.
I'm going to do that.
you do it already. I'm so tired, Kristen. Please don't make me go up. So Kenya is getting something from being in this situation of chaos.
Yeah.
And that was the third question, is you keep making these choices.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a stupid person. So obviously you're getting something from,
mm-hmm.
being financially tenuous, from having this guy in your house who dickmatized you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it makes you feel good about yourself to save him or feed his kid. Maybe you just really want to have somebody rather than nobody.
Right. Maybe your ex already has someone who's,
mm-hmm.
fabulous, and you need to have at least someone.
Somebody, right.
Right?
Yeah, so she's getting something from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And my second example is a friendship that my friend, lovely, intelligent woman, just loved chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And embraced it at every turn. You know, but, and she would say like, oh, I'm so disorganized, knowing that I'm super organized, or, you know, can you help me clean my house or mm-hmm. rearrange my, I'm like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. sure. Right. I love that. Except that she would never keep up with the things mm-hmm. or, you know, she'd go back to the old way, whatever. And, you know, she would always let me know that she was needing help without directly asking me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would jump in and say, like, oh, you know, let me do some cleaning for you mm-hmm. or cook you dinner, blah, blah, blah. It's a game, right? Kenya's playing a game with you so that you'll always feel sorry for her.
Yeah.
So she has the upper hand in manipulation here because yeah. she's the needy friend and you're the friend with the life together.
Right.
So she's the victim and you're the savior, or at least, you know, the shoulder she cries on.
Right, right.
And, you know, also you get to feel superior because mm-hmm. you're so together compared to her.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be something that you're doing here because it makes you feel good to compare yourself with Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's the case, but sometimes we keep a friend who's kind of a loser mm-hmm. for just that reason,
mm-hmm.
right?
So you feel superior.
Yeah. Mm. And also you think, like, also I have this superpower of fixing people.
Yeah.
So let me work my magic on you. And, of course, we don't have superpowers.
Right.
So with my friend, I finally just told her the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just like, I can't, your life is too chaotic and it stresses me to try to always help out and never have that help turn into anything meaningful. You know, that I worried too much about her and I needed to like bring some of that energy back to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it wasn't doing me any good to try to help her and, you know, other than feeling a little superior, maybe.
Mm, but it's frustrating.
But it was. It was maddening.
You have great ideas, and you know they're great.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they work at my house. They mm-hmm. could work at your house, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, I bought her a magazine about, like, decluttering and organizing and stuff like that. And she's always going to be cluttered and mm-hmm. unorganized. And that's the way she chooses to live. And,
true.
And she gets to do that.
Yeah. I think the difference between, like, say, me and Kenya is I didn't want to be in the chaos. Mm-hmm. And also, I didn't let him live in my house. Thank Christ.
Yes.
But I didn't want... I saw that it was chaos and it was too much and it was overwhelming. And I didn't want to be in the chaos. Kenya wants
yeah.
the chaos.
Yeah,
she really does.
She's embracing this, and I have this this acquaintance who is dating a guy she knows is wrong for her,
mm-hmm.
and she's absolutely positive he is the wrong guy for her,
mm-hmm.
and she hasn't broken up for him mm-hmm. with him. She's been with him for like 6 years now, and I keep thinking, all this time, you could have been finding the right guy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with being alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being single, even if it's for, you know, years at a time, rather than shackle yourself to someone who's a perpetual disappointment.
And just drains the life out of you, really.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy sounds like a leech.
Yeah.
He's just draining the life out of your friend.
And he's conducting illegal activities out of her apartment. So, Kenya, do you want to be an accomplice? So, I think that you can say, look, Kenya,
mm-hmm.
we've been friends for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
What, 20? 30. 30. 30 mm-hmm. years. And, you know, we have had so many good times. But I just can't keep hearing about the same problems mm-hmm. over and over when you're not willing to address them.
Right.
So let's go to the movies and mm-hmm. then we'll go out for a drink mm-hmm. and then we can talk about the movie.
Yeah.
Or you just do the slow fade.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that sounds hard. What's your plan?
No, I think you're right. And I think she's halfway there anyway.
Yeah.
Our frustrated friend is halfway there anyway because she's super frustrated. It makes it easier for her to sort of say, I'm not going to call her yeah. back. I'm not going to text her yeah. back or something like that.
I mean, the slow fade is at once the kinder and the crueler way. Mm-hmm. Because as far as Kenya knows, nothing has happened between you to make her withdraw, but mm-hmm. at least you don't have to say, Kenya, your life stresses me out, and you just make so many bad decisions. I don't want to hear about it anymore. You know,
yeah.
there's a pro and con to each method.
No, I agree. I'm just wondering if Kenya even wants a different life. Like, she can see you as the example, frustrated friend, and does she think, wow, I wish I could go out with her more? And I could if I had more money. But she's not thinking that way. So I do feel like you don't have a lot of choice here.
Yeah.
You could talk to her one more time, but I don't know that would get you anywhere.
I think if you do talk to her frustrated, it should be when you tell me this, I feel
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about your reaction, not a list of how she fails and
mm-hmm.
is, you know, making bad choices. It should be, I feel really tense and frustrated and, you know, just heard this song so many times. It upsets me. I want better for you, but you don't want better for yourself.
That's it.
So,
yeah.
You know, I need to take a step back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that will be the thing that jolts her out of it.
It's not gonna.
Yeah, probably not.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we all love that idea that we have that one conversation, you know, that's my unicorn, that one healthy conversation where you say the thing in just the right way
mm-hmm.
and the person finally sees
mm-hmm.
that their life could be different.
Mm-hmm.
And frustrated, I feel like you've been doing this
yeah.
and trying. And guess what? All these years of your friendship, good example, offers to help, have gotten Kenya exactly nowhere.
Really? Really? Totally.
So, nowhere. You know, if you feel like there's parts of her that are still worth investing in time-wise, you know, try that sort of more neutral, let's go to a movie.
I like the movies idea.
Read a book.
Yeah.
Let's watch, you know,
or
The Last of Us.
Some group thing. Some
yeah.
group thing, right?
Go to paint night and treat her
yes.
so she doesn't have the
right,
money for
right.
it. But this is also one of those, we've been friends for so long, I can't break up with her. But you can.
Yes, you can.
And it doesn't have to be cruel, and it doesn't have to be a big fight.
No.
And, you know, I'm never speaking to her again. It could just be, you know, the friendship has run out of gas, and I feel like you know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, wish you a lot of luck with that.
Yes.
And we'd love to hear how things go.
Yeah, I'm good.
You know, we might have time for one short letter.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think so.
I've got a stack of papers here. By the way,
yeah.
thanks for writing into us, you guys.
Oh my gosh.
We appreciate your trust in us. We love hearing from you. We've gotten several follow-up letters.
Which we love.
Yep.
We do love a good follow-up.
Uh-huh. And
and baby pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And dog pictures also.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And cat, I mean.
Keep up the pets and children.
Yes.
We like this. Okay, so this is kind of a brief one, and it's
okay.
just kind of a very introspective letter writer.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, ladies. I've listened to most of your podcasts and really enjoy them. I suspect that a few of them really pertain to me, but I thought I'd see if you find this interesting. I'm 76, and most of my friends are scattered to the four winds. My husband and I live in a small house with a large view overlooking the city. We have a couple of cats whom we baby way too much. Our son and grandson live in another city. We have a couple of friends whom we walk with and share books, magazines, movie critiques, and the like. The woman, whom I'll call Sydney, is undergoing treatment for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I had cancer almost 3 decades ago, so we talk about that too, which I hope helps her through the rough spots. We are very hopeful that she will recover and go into full remission. Sydney is very brave and self-sufficient. She doesn't want anyone to be cloying or overly doting, so I try to help. It's hard to know how I can show her more support or even if she wants any. As for me, I relate to the woman who saw herself as Halle Berry.
Really? That's awesome.
That was just to remind you, listeners.
Yeah.
This was a woman who was very beautiful.
Right.
And people were drawn to her.
But she wanted nothing to do.
And she said, like, the truth is I'm really boring.
Yeah.
And I think she, like, went to tag sales and had a cat
and,
or a dog.
And she might knit or crochet or something.
Yeah, she did some craft like that, some, you know, domestic thing.
But she didn't want to be around people.
She was, I said to Joss, did you write this letter?
It could have been me.
Okay, so back to the letter. I relate to the woman who saw herself as Halle Berry. I don't require lots of girl time. I do see some friends and family periodically. One of them lives across the pond, so we FaceTime, and she visits a couple times a year. Since COVID, it's been hard to get together with people indoors, so our book club faltered on Zoom and finally went dark. Social media is getting kind of irritating. Yeah. I really don't care much for pictures of what people had for lunch.
True.
I do have one friend who is leaning toward the crappy side, but I just scroll by when she posts something irritating. Mm. I guess I'm comfortably lonely, but basically content. So you probably won't find any of this too interesting. Wrong.
Mm.
Again, I love your podcast and truly enjoy the friendship you two have. Sincerely, introvertish.
I think you're fabulous.
I think you're our people.
Really? I don't think you have anything to feel bad about. Unless you want to do more, which you could certainly do by yourself.
Yeah.
I love to do. I'm always looking for, like, Facebook groups that are, like, solos doing something else. So that seems like a lot of fun. Just to get out more. So unless someone is making you feel bad about not being more social, I don't see why you should worry about it.
You sound content.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you're basically content. And I love that word.
Mm-hmm.
Because content means you know you have enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy all the time. I'm really, like, filled with energy and love. And I just, you know, it's just like, yeah, I have a good life. I enjoyed today in which I did nothing except read and, you know, make some soup.
My favorite day.
It's a great day.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Regarding your friend Sydney and her cancer, I think you're being very kind.
Mm-hmm.
And you're respectful of her boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's nothing stopping you from saying, you know, having gone through this, I get it. When people fall all over themselves to help you or pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really uncomfortable. But know that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to talk or if you need something, give me a call.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think you're great.
I think you're winning at
life. Yeah, you really are.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, you have a husband, son, a grandson. You know, your life is well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
And having a child and a grandchild and a partner, that does maybe eliminate your need for more people.
Yeah. I think it's enough.
Yeah.
Really.
So don't criticize yourself. I think you sound great.
Yeah.
And if you feel like, you know, you're happily lonely, maybe just rephrase that into, I really enjoy solitude.
Yeah, or happily alone.
Happily alone. Yeah. And if, you know, if you're thinking, I really would like to have another friend, you work on that.
Yeah.
We've talked about that many times.
Yeah.
So, but we think you're doing great.
Yeah.
So congratulations. Enjoy your next book. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.